fantasy football.
Good morning. Do you not know, have you not heard, the Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow weary or tired, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. From Isaiah 40. Good morning and welcome everyone to our service today. It is great to be gathered together in the name of Christ in the worship of God. Welcome to those of you who are here in the room this morning, but welcome to those who will be watching or listening at a later time. We are so thrilled that we can share together in this way. Let us pray. Lord and God, we give you thanks for this day, and as we gather, I pray that we may be particularly conscious of your presence with us. Help us to be alert to your presence in what we do, in what we say, in what we sing and pray and reflect on from the scriptures. May all we do be to your honour and your glory, and may what we offer to you be acceptable in and through that which Christ offers for us. Amen. One of the things that we've heard about Jesus over the last few weeks is his tenderness, his gentleness, as he offers grace to people. And our first song reflects that. Jesus, strong and kind, as we stand to sing. We pray. Indeed, Lord, you are good and faithful, and we continue to look to you for all that we share in across life. Times when we are uncertain, times when we are confused, times when we are lost, we turn again to you. For in you is the source of all life, the fount of all wisdom, the wellspring of all grace. Your days are without end, your loving mercies without number. Oh Lord, we depend on you and we recall your goodness to us and we tell your story across every generation. But you are not our captive God. You're not a God of our own making. You're not bound by us nor controlled by us. You're ahead of us, leading us, guiding us and calling us. You are the Lord God, all wise and all compassionate. It is in our Lord Jesus Christ that we see your glory, that we hear your truth, that we know your forgiving love. You have put your ear to our heart, O Lord, both when we prayed and when we doubted. You know well what we fear and question, what we long for and from whom we turn away. And so we confess those times, O Lord, that we have turned from you, that we have wandered from you to seek after those things which have distracted us from your life-giving way, from the acceptance of your grace and the reassurance of your peace. Please break down all the barriers that we put up against your love. Restore to us the joy of your salvation and renew a right spirit within us as we pray in and through the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. God is good. On all whose lives are open to change from guilt to grace, from darkness to light, God pronounces forgiveness and grants to us his peace. And so we're able to know that it is in Jesus that we are forgiven and we say, thanks be to God. The peace of the Lord be always with you. I invite you to share a word of peace with those nearby. Our next hymn is a great old hymn by Charles Willie, Oh for a Heart to Praise My God, and it's this prayer. And hopefully it's part of our prayer this morning that this is the kind of heart that we ask God for as we sing this. Thank you.
Oh, please fill your Lord. So Good morning, all. I'm back by popular demand after the success of last week. Bill rang me up and said, "Oh, that was a joy." I don't know why. Welcome to this bleak day. I thought I'd start off by saying Andrew would feel right at home. Yesterday was the day you should have had today. Yes. Welcome, Andrew. And Catherine. Church council on last week was a success, with Andrew and I not being there. We have as helping with the secretary's roles, Joanna is taking care of the minutes and Rosemary H is doing the correspondence. So thank you for that. The other news items are the same as always, coffee and chat, and Artburst being due soon. Have more donations of blankets and winter jackets for Micah, who help the homeless. So we're looking forward to taking over some of the West End in the near future. That's it. Thank you.
Thanks, Rob. So we share continue to share some things of our life together here. And Rosemary, I wonder if you just say some things about music lovers. And do you want to say something about this after that, or just me? Okay. So thanks. I asked Rosemary. I know we normally sort of ask people who are at music lovers on Thursday to share a few things, but I wonder, and Rosemary, maybe just come up here with the mic. That might be good, just to share a few things about music lovers on Thursday. Right. And just come pretty close to that mic, okay. Actually.
Thank you. Hi, good morning, everyone. Last Thursday, our music lovers concert, and that was our concert for June, and we welcomed Rhonda Davidson Irwin and her choir, La Viva Musica. Rhonda and her choir have performed at Music Lovers on many occasions, and this concert was all the more poignant due to the recent tragic circumstances when Rhonda's family home of 33 years was destroyed by fire. Before introducing the choir and the first item, Rhonda took the opportunity to speak about the event. She thanked everyone for their messages of support and good wishes, and thanked everybody for coming on Thursday. She also spoke of what her music meant to her and how it was helping her to keep going. There followed a wonderfully varied programme of music and singing, beginning with the choir's signature piece, Viva, Viva Musica, and including Feed the Birds from Mary Poppins and folk songs and solos. And the audience were encouraged to join in, going to rise up singing, which we all enjoyed. And I don't know how well we did, but we enjoyed doing it. Rhonda accompanied the choir on her flute for many of the songs, as well as playing two solos with the lovely young pianist who was new to our group. And the second of their pieces was totally improvised, which was wonderful. And Reverend David closed our morning with a prayer for Rhonda and her family and her ongoing work with her music and the choir. And then he finished with a blessing. But that was just a lovely, lovely thing to do. And I'm sure, and Rhonda really appreciated that, knowing that we as a community were praying for her and her family at this time. And the audience themselves were really appreciative of the performance, and they knew that the profits were going to be sent to Rhonda, and many people donated over and above the usual entry fee of $10, and so our total raised $700. Thank you. And I'd just like to thank our Music Lovers team for all their hard work, because of the choir, it always means extra people wanting feeding. So thank you, Rosemary there, and Catherine, Lester too, and Joycelyn on the door, as well as other people who step up just on the morning to help. Thank you.
Excellent. Thanks, Rosemary. Would anyone else like to make a just come on forward, Marion. Anyone else like to make a comment about Music Lovers if you're here on Thursday? right to go to one.
It was such a special atmosphere. It wasn't even just the music, but there was just such a feeling of love in the room. It was quite a special day.
Yeah, it was.
We have two beautiful little booklets, I guess you'd call them, donated by our friend Reverend Geraldine Wheeler, who has put these together over time. And Reverend Donna Spencer and I, we were over at her place the other day talking about visionaries things, and we saw these and we mentioned them and how beautiful they were. And voila, we have them now, a couple. It's just how it happens, isn't it? So now we've got a couple of beautiful little booklets for you to have a browse through for our library, care of Geraldine. So we thank you to her.
Thanks, Marilyn. Thank you. Just as Wendy comes forward, so many of you are involved in so many other things beyond the life of the congregation here, and I just wanted to give Wendy the opportunity just to talk a little bit about one of her passions. As she does that, Refresh Shop, we're looking for a glass display cabinet. So if you have one that's sort of sitting in a corner somewhere, you think, oh, I wonder what I'm going to do with it. We can use it here, okay? And maybe like a tallish compact bookcase, that might be helpful as well. But particularly the glass display cabinet would be really helpful. We have some shelves that will be going into the Refresh Shop very soon. Wendy tracked them down. Thank you so much, Wendy, for tracking them down. There'll also be a couple will remain there where the Women's Refuge donations will go. Okay, instead of being on the pew, we'll actually get them into a shelf there. And a couple of days during, we're still on for this, couple of days during the school holidays, we're going to, Jenny will shut the shop and we're going to do some rearranging, like put the shelves in and have some extra hands. So more about that soon. And so thanks, folks, for that. Wendy, come on through. Do you want me to prompt some questions of you, or you're just right to go? You can just go for it if you want.
I'll try. Thank you to those people that came to see our wonderful display at the auditorium last year. We missed Carolyn and Philip, who always come. Donna came, Andrew, Marion, Coralie, Sally, Robert. The boys were there as well. It was probably the best exhibition I have been involved with the association. I believe that the members were very brave. They stepped out of their comfort zone, and the resulting arrangements were just fantastic. So thank you to those people that came. I'm director of the Queensland Sagetsu Ikebana Association, and as the director, it is my job to do the welcome to the exhibition display, and this year we had to choose one of the four iterations of Sagetsu. We've had four emotos, which are directors, and the first one was Sofu, who in 1927 founded the organisation. He was a traditionally trained Ikenobo master, but felt restrained by the rules. So he formed Sagetsu, and what he brought to Sagetsu was a lot of wood and metal and unusual. So he stepped away from flowers only, flowers and branches, and so I went, oh, wood, I've got two burnt bits under the house. So they were collected when we were camping out at Mount Barney many years ago, and so that then became my... Lots of preparation goes into the exhibition, and I think before you saw Phoebe, she's one of our young members. She's a very ethereal person. You know, she's thin, lovely hair. She's just etherical. And that was what her arrangement was at the end. I don't think I have a finished arrangement, but that's what came out. And often in Sagetsu Ikebana, it's your personality that comes through in what you arrange. I also had to do a demonstration. So Rob and Matt and Jake were at the back. They said they weren't heckling, but they were, quietly. And I chose again to feature wood, which was Sofu's influence, and that was a piece of gidgee. You can't really see it. There's a piece of gidgee wood, and gidgee's a very heavy wood, but it burns beautifully. We picked that up when we were on one of our caravanning expeditions, which no longer are. And I just wanted to use stuff that people can get. So Song of India, I took from the Bowls Club. I took the I always have this written down when I'm talking. I'll remember it and tell you at the break. Just some green chrysanthemums that I picked up at Woolies. So the cost of the arrangement was $8. But I also chose to use things that, rather than beautiful containers like the next one is, rather than beautiful containers, I chose to showcase things that people might have in their house or might pick up at the op shop. We also ran a pottery competition this year. Wow, there are some very talented potters in Brisbane. We had 38 people enter the competition. And this is the winning entry. Marcella is a potter. She's also a student of Ikebana. She also imports Ikebana containers. I knew none of that until I talked to her at the exhibition. So my teacher, Pat, is going to use that in the art gallery, I think in August. And I've been allowed to borrow one from the person that was runner-up, and that will feature in my next one at the art gallery, which is in September, I think. But it was a wonderful weekend, so thank you for all your support. And Ikebana generally is calming and grounding, generally. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Wendy, for sharing that and something of what drives your passion for Ikebana. And I know many of you have a whole lot of things that you're involved in and passions that you have. And I think it's a really helpful thing to hear about that, what takes place for you between Sundays here. And also to reflect on, particularly when it's a creative thing, there's... we do well to pause and reflect on the creativity that comes there that might just reflect God's creativity amongst us as well. So thank you, Wendy, for that. Linda, you've had a birthday, is that right? Yesterday. Yesterday? Okay, excellent. So we'll have that. Did you have a good birthday yesterday? Excellent. And Avon Moffat's is this week. How am I going? This week sometime, think that. And then there's a few in August that we'll get to at that time. But we'll say a prayer for Linda shortly in Avon. But also want to mention that Dawn's had some news of Everton, who's in hospital at the moment and has been there for a couple of weeks already, just with some movement issues and... to share. So we'll continue to pray for Evelyn, and just in your private prayers, please pray for her and for the rest of the family. That would be great. We pray. Lord our God, we shared together of much of our life here and from the joys of music, and that as we had on Thursday, of something of the healing that music can bring, and That's part of Rhonda's story at this time. We continue to pray for Rhonda and her family. During this time of reflection, recovery, rebuilding their lives, we continue to pray for her. We thank you for the great creativity that comes in all kinds of ways through the visual arts, Ekabana, pottery, all just sorts of ways, Lord. We thank you that it is able to reflect your creativity and your gifts to us. We pray, Lord, giving thanks for Linda, and thank you for the opportunity to share in a birthday yesterday. And as we often say, Lord, that provides an opportunity to pause and reflect on life and all of its wholeness and of your goodness to us. Continue your blessing upon Linda and also upon Avon as well this week. Pray, Lord, that as Avon shares in her birthday later this week, that may be a day of peace and calmness for her. Lord, we pray for Evelyn, particularly today, and as she continues to spend time in hospital. Help her as she reflects upon her ongoing health issues. Please surround her with your love and care and of your healing touch upon her, in and through the name of Christ. Amen. Are we here from Mark chapter 1?
Yeah, the gospel reading today comes from Mark chapter 1, verses 35 to 45. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he travelled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "But go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Lord, may the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So here again, we'll just go back one slide if that's possible. Thanks, Wendy. I'm not sure. Anyway, what we're doing. But where we've been over the last 6 or 7 weeks is looking at various people that Jesus encounters. Yeah, that's fine, that'll be all good. And so we've looked at Zacchaeus, the thief on the cross, a woman caught in adultery that's brought before Jesus, very briefly at the disciples at Pentecost, woman who last week who reached out and touched Jesus' garment. And Matt Whitaker was here at the end of May talking about Destiny Rescue. Next week is our final week in this series where we'll look at Luke chapter 15 and the prodigal son. As I mentioned last week, going to particularly look at the story of Les Miserables and the story of Jean Valjean and Javert. And so just in preparation, feel free to watch that during the week if you have access to Les Miserables. What, the musical, by all means, even better if you can watch an adaptation of the book, which is not the musical. Because the musical doesn't focus on very much on two of the key players in the story, which I've mentioned before, but that's next week as well. It will pick up magnificently this grace reawakened as we look at the story of Jean Valjean and Javert in that story, as does the prodigal son story. And today we look at this account of a man with leprosy. Thanks, Wendy. Hopefully that next one will come up there now. And as I've said for a few times now, that our story is somewhere in here. And these are some of the words that we've looked at, and some of the words that, as we read each of these accounts of the people that Jesus meets, some of the things, the words that connect with them along the way, and fear, isolation, vulnerability, embarrassment, uncertainty, exclusion. And then there's some other words that after their encounter with Jesus and this grace that's awake, and there's the disciples are empowered. Sorry about my spelling there. Hope, they are restored, like Zacchaeus is restored as a son of Abraham. The woman who touches Jesus' cloak, we heard last week, he calls her daughter, one of the rare places that Jesus calls someone daughter. There's an assurance and a peace, and that's part of what we're looking at. So our story is somewhere there. Today it is looking at the story of the leper. Yeah, thanks, Wendy. Next one, the man with leprosy. And leprosy in the Bible, the New Testament, is this umbrella term for a whole range of skin diseases. So that's, in a way, it doesn't make any difference what it was, because the outcome was the same for them, is that they were very ostracized. If we recall the movie Ben-Hur, you know, Charlton Heston, the remake back in 2016, wherever it was, but Ben-Hur, again, what an amazing movie. And because one of the fascinating things with the movie Ben-Hur is these little encounters with Jesus along the way, of where Ben-Hur, Jesus is over there. You know, the story is Ben-Hur here, but he has these encounters with Jesus. And it's a crucial encounter towards the end of the movie of Ben-Hur, particularly for his mother and his sister, who are lepers. Ben-Hur, there's this scene that tears your heart apart when you watch it, of where he goes with his friend who is taking food to them, and he accompanies her one time because he hasn't seen his mother or his sister for years and years. And he goes and he hides behind this rock, and they come out with cloaks wrapped around them and everything, and his heart's just breaking, and he wishes he has to be restrained because he wants to go and see them and talk with them. But he's restrained from doing that. And his heart's just breaking because of that. And there's a beautiful scene where when Christ is being crucified, Ben-Hur's friend is with his mother and his sister in a cave. And at the moment of Jesus' death, they are healed of their leprosy. That's in the movie Ben-Hur. And you're going, wow. How extraordinary is that? Interesting. But it certainly portrays this sense that lepers were ostracized. They had to be put out of the community. And indeed, that's what the law of Moses said, that that's what needed to happen. And way back, you know, hundreds of times, 1,000 years before this account, it kind of makes sense in a way that this was for good public health reasons in many ways. But one thing led to another, and really there was this complete ostracization. Is that a word? Ostracization? It is now. There we go. And one of the law in Leviticus says that if a leper came by, they had to shout out, unclean, unclean. And let's just pause for a moment and think about that. That as a person who was a leper, that if you went out amongst the community, you had to yell that out. How demeaning is that? How embarrassing? How humiliating? But that's a long, long time ago, isn't it? Leprosy is not much of an issue. But let's think back 6 years ago, middle of 2020. We were doing something pretty similar. COVID, stay away from me. Thanks, Wendy. Just go forward a couple of slides. This is, I don't know, it's not that far removed from the story. You couldn't go near someone with COVID. Not so much now either, really. This is what, if you were having contact with someone with COVID-19, and for someone who worked in aged care during that whole time, that was their world. And you know full well, I'm not telling you anything new here, of what that meant of visiting your loved one at times and the people around you, that you could not go near anyone. Maybe that's just a little smidgen of being able to relate to this man who comes to Jesus. Unclean, unclean. Stay away. If you are willing, you can make me clean, Jesus says, if you are willing. It's as if the leper says to Jesus, if you want to, you're able to cleanse me. And it's quite a telling statement in many ways, that this man, and think about his history, okay, of living with this skin disease and all that that meant for him. Jesus, you can do this. But are you willing to? What's your mind, Jesus? What's your heart towards me, Jesus? Remember, he's coming out of a world where no one wanted to go near him. He knows that Jesus would be able to do that, but is Jesus willing to do it? We'll touch on that a little bit more shortly as well. Now, initially, this passage looks pretty straightforward, okay? It's a man that comes to Jesus for healing. But we actually see Jesus respond in a different way to this man than, say, what we've seen over the last couple of weeks. And it's not quite as straightforward as what it first appears. Over the last couple of weeks, when the woman who's caught in adultery comes to Jesus, he deals very directly with the religious leaders, but with the woman, there's this great tenderness and gentleness. He speaks fairly directly to her, calls her to a new life. But there's this gentleness. Similarly, last week with this woman with the flow of blood for 12 years. Even though it's a very public scene, Jesus speaks very tenderly. We don't get that in this scene with the leper. Jesus speaks very directly, and a lot of commentators, in verse 41, there's a lot of commentators who try to wrestle with this translation. It depends what we say. Sometimes it says that Jesus was moved with compassion, with pity. But the actual word is anger. Jesus was moved with anger. And the commentators wrestle with which one is it, because the manuscripts vary a bit. And it's a bit problematic, because then they kind of wrestle with, well, hang on, why would Jesus be doing that? And then, so it's, and similarly in verse 43, that Jesus sends him away at once with this strong warning, don't tell anyone, don't tell anyone. And this verse about Jesus sends him away is such a strong word. It drives him away. It's the same word that the disciples use. In chapter 14, there's the woman who comes and they tell her off for the extravagance and the waste of money that she shows by pouring this perfume over Jesus' feet. The disciples tell her off. Get out of here. It's the same word. And indeed, it's the same word, just a little earlier in the chapter, when Jesus is driven by the Spirit into the wilderness. He was driven by the Spirit. It's the same word. It's this throwing out, casting out. And you're thinking, well, hang on, what's going on here? Jesus heals the man and then he says, look, get out of here, but go and tell no one, but go to the priest and show him that you are clean. Which is what they had to do. That was the law as well. You had to go, if you were cleansed of leprosy, you had to go to the priest, etc., and see so that you could enter back into the community. Many commentators struggle to land on a satisfying conclusion to what's going on here in the way that Jesus responds to this man. But this is what Jesus does in Mark's Gospel. And remember, we're in chapter 1 here of Mark's Gospel. But Jesus responds in these unexpected ways throughout Mark's Gospel in ways that we think, well, what's going on there? And some suggest that this is not necessarily directed at the leper, but that Jesus directs it to the powers that, as Sarah Heinrich says, the powers that hold creation and its creatures in thrall, so that Jesus is again just annoyed that this is the circumstance of people. Maybe that's what's happening. Whatever is the case, we know that Jesus is willing to heal the man, that Jesus reaches out and touches the leper. And again, if we just pause for a moment and reflect upon that, this man is living isolated. He has probably not had anyone apart from a fellow leper touch him in years. And Jesus reaches out his hand and touches him, immediately making Jesus unclean. How extraordinary that Jesus would do this. See, this is the Jesus of grace who does this, who reaches out his hand. And so whatever the case is going on here, we know that Jesus is willing to heal him, that Jesus reaches out and touches the leper, and that Jesus heals him. And indeed, that all these healings, especially in Mark's Gospel, are signs of what God's reign means for us, that lives are brought back to a place of wholeness, that lives are brought to a place of thriving and fullness of life and flourish. That's what all these healings are about. Whatever the case, we know that Jesus becomes unclean as he touches a leper. Jesus becomes unclean. And actually, by the end of the story, Jesus has shown the cost of what it is for God to be among us, the cost of Jesus' grace toward us, the cost to bring us back to fullness of life, that thriving. You see, by the end of the story, Jesus has traded place with the leper. At the start, the leper is isolated. He's not able to move freely about amongst people, but at the end, he is free to move around amongst people, proclaiming what God has done, which is what Jesus was doing, proclaiming what God has done. But now Jesus is isolated and alone. The verses that Andrew read, because this man couldn't do what Jesus asked him to do, as Jesus said, don't tell anyone. And what does he do? He goes blabbing off to anyone he can, such that Jesus could no longer teach or preach or heal in that area. And in fact, Jesus goes off by himself, alone and isolated. Verse 45, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. He's swapped with the leper. And you see, this is the point of the story. This points us to that glorious exchange that Jesus is willing to take for humanity itself. He gives up his life of freedom for the isolation, the loneliness, the God-forsakenness of death, not for his sake, but for ours. In verse 41, we hear Jesus say to the leper, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus says, "I will. I am willing." You see, we hear those words again on the lips of Jesus in chapter 14. But this time, Jesus is kneeling in a garden of Gethsemane, and wrestling with what is about to happen on this night of his arrest. "Not your will, not my will, but your will, O Lord. I will, I am willing to do this." Amidst his anguish, he chooses his Father's will over that of his own. Again, not for his sake, but for ours. This is the grace. This is the grace that God offers us and that is awakened within us. Just to draw things to a little bit of a close here. We read these verses in Philippians chapter 2. "In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." Jesus becomes unclean so that we would be made clean. He comes from that place of who he is by God's the Father's side down to us so that we could be brought back to God. I showed those verses, that slide earlier on about all the different things that were experienced by these people who met Jesus, and that we're in there somewhere. Because sometimes we ask a similar question or make a similar statement to the leper. "God, I know that you can do stuff, but will you?" Jesus, is it actually in your heart to want good for me? Is it actually in your heart to bring me wholeness? I know you can do that, but what about all that stuff that I've done? Surely that gets in the way. Surely I'm not good enough, that you're not willing. Surely that's taken me outside the bounds of your love and grace and mercy, surely. That's what we'll hear a bit more about next week. Just to finish with a couple of thoughts. Way back in June 1994, Rich Mullins, who was a Christian singer-songwriter out of the States, was doing an interview, and he said this as he was talking. It was a kind of a presentation amongst a whole bunch of people. He said, "Some of you people are so afraid that someday you're going to cross that line, that you're going to do that one sin that God will never forgive you of, or you're going to do that one sin that you've been doing so long, but you have this feeling that there's a certain number of times you can get away with it and God will look away. But one time too many and your life is over." Folks, God knew you at your worst before he ever sent Christ to die for you. Christianity is not that Christ came into the world to make good little boys and girls. Christ came into the world to take away those sins that you've allowed to come between you and God. He says, "It's sad to me to believe, to look out and see when you're driving down the road and you see people who are afraid, you see people who are angry, and you go, if only you knew how crazy God was about you. If only you knew that God has already loved you." Lauren Daigle is, you might have heard some of Lauren Daigle's songs. Extraordinary singer-songwriter, again out of the States, Christian person, has really made some inroads, not only in Christian music circles, but particularly into the secular music industry in the States. Extraordinary voice. A number of years ago, she had this song called You Say, and I want to finish with this morning. You say, I keep fighting voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know. You say I am loved when I can't feel a thing. You say I'm as strong when I think I am weak. And you say I'm held when I'm feeling short. And when I don't belong, oh, you say I am yours. And I believe what you say of me. We pray. Lord our God, we thank you for your goodness, that in you, you welcome us with all that we are, with all that we have. Your arms reach out and your hand reaches out and touches us, and we are clean. We are clean. We are renewed by your grace and your mercy. Help us to know that deep within our hearts. Help us to know that as we step out of this door this day, in and through the name of Christ we pray. Amen. As we sing, The Love of God Comes Close, our offering will be received, and we'll stand in the last verse. The Love of God Comes Close. The tune is Love Unknown, which I think we might be familiar with. Thank you. We offer these gifts, Lord, for the work of your church and the care of your people, recognizing with thanks that we could give nothing if you had not first given to us. Help us to use all we have, remembering you and for the glory of your name, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we come today to reflect in gratitude on so much in our lives. One very special gift is memory. Memory can bring us grief, sometimes great joy, and always it's part of being human. Thank you for everything that we can celebrate through memory. You know, Lord, we like to mark special days for memories of certain milestones, significant people, or parts of human life that need to be cherished. In the past month, we've remembered Sorry Day and Reconciliation Week, finishing with Mabo Day earlier in June. Bless those whose people have been in this country for something around 60,000 years. We thank you for the care that they have given to this land in all that time, and ask you to bless us going forward in reconciliation with them. Many special days, Lord, remind us of the diversity in your world. Bless all those whose time and focus is caught up in worthwhile and often joyous activities or work that are remembered in some of these special days. Thank you for all those who use their skills and passion to make a difference. Yesterday was World Refugee Day at the end of Refugee Week. Bless particularly today all those refugees who have been forced to leave their homeland through absolute poverty or extreme weather events, persecution or war. And for those who come to our shores, Lord, may they find a place of peace and opportunity and hands held out to greet them. Thank you for all the successes we have had with such a varied group of people. And forgive us for where we have failed. So many different kinds of people. Convicts or crooks, builders or farmers, or soccer-playing refugees, may they find welcome. A day of music, and we thank you for all those who create or perform music. Thank you for our own musicians who bring so much joy to our services here week by week, and also the music lovers this last week, the beautiful choir music, bringing such help to Rhonda after her heartbreak of the house burning down in the fire. Bless any today with anxiety or illness at their door, especially Evelyn and Sonia. May they find solace and peace from you in music and friends. Tomorrow is also the 49th birthday of the Uniting Church in Australia. For those who were there, it was such a day of new beginnings and hope. Some of those hopes have come to fruition, and some not yet. We went forth very gaily, determined to hold on to the best of the past, but to try to be ready for the future. We hope to see three churches walking together. Forgive us when we've been slow to move forwards in unfamiliar paths. We know that the journey together has seen misunderstandings, often based on naive assumptions that people in all three churches would somehow express our faith in the same ways. Yet now we have members who are not ex anything, but just members of the Uniting Church. It is the Uniting Church because it is still a work in progress with more to do. Thank you for the emphasis on social justice, walking with Indigenous people, and recognition of the rights of people from different backgrounds and capacities, the focus on compassion and serving others, and the flexibility that has come into worship. So much change has come to our society, often greatly needed. But the choices now mean we're not so sure of our ground. So please help us to express your message of love so that it is convincing in its authenticity. Your prophets recognized that in a new land they needed to sing a new song. Help us to sing your new song and take your church into your future, even though we do not know what you have in mind. Make us open to possibilities and give us the excitement of discovering what your new church can become in the whole Australian context and in our own local church family. Now, Lord, you know what is in the back of our minds continually at the moment. We pray that the peace agreement in the Middle East may hold more sturdily, that the aggressive language will settle and the violence decrease. Please bring willingness to compromise to all those involved so the ravages of war will decline and rebuilding can begin. These things we ask in the name of the Prince of Peace, who taught us to pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Our final hymn and then a blessing, and a hymn that reminds us that across the highs and the lows, a friend that we have amongst our sorrows, our tears, our loneliness, here is this friend that we have in Jesus. We stand to sing. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. We go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen.